Chapter 1. Wounds. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. We are tired of having our checks cut off without warning or investigation because of malicious gossip and lying officials. We are tired of hostile social workers and supervisors. On the afternoon of June 2, 1967, the Mothers for Adequate Welfare, a group of poor black and a few white mothers, staged a protest at the offices of the Public Welfare Department on Blue Hill Avenue in Roxbury, Massachusetts. Hastily handwritten flyers were taped to telephone poles and shop windows, inviting the community to join in the protest. The sit-in was peaceful, even after the mothers, unable to air their grievances, refused to leave. They spent the night in the foyer, huddled together on the grimy linoleum floor. The next day, things quickly took a turn for the worse, after the mothers aired their demands but received no promise of redress. The mothers wrapped a bicycle chain around the handles of the glass double entry doors to prevent the police from entering and the staff from leaving. The police called for reinforcements. A mass of uniformed officers arrived and smashed the glass to reclaim the building. One of the mothers shouted from an open window, "They're beating our black sisters in here." The police dragged the battered but still defiant mothers out of the building, down granite steps covered in blood and shards of glass, and threw them into awaiting police vans. The crowd outside erupted and rushed the police, who in turn indiscriminately clubbed and arrested people. Despite pleas for calm from local church leaders and community activists' words of honor, the unrest spread throughout the community. A riot ensued across 10 blocks of Blue Hill Avenue. For several decades, Southern black folks carrying suitcases full of prized possessions fled poverty and threats of lynching to pursue the elusive dream of a better life in Western and Northern cities like Boston. By the early 1960s, turbulence and race riots plagued much of the country, yet bypassed Boston. The city had a self-congratulatory air because its predominantly African-American community of Roxbury exercised restraint while other cities burned. Everything changed on that humid day in June. I was 7 years old at the time. That night in my aunt and uncle's apartment, I watched the nightly news report bearing witness to mothers treated like chattel and an agitated crowd cursing and hurling rocks at the police. The reporter said the violence would likely carry on throughout the night. As we watched in stunned silence, suddenly we heard someone pounding on the front door. I hid nearby, but within earshot, as my uncle barked, "Who is it?" He unlatched the deadbolt, and on the other side of the door stood my dad, Robert Wise, dressed in black. His speech was halting, as if he had run a road race. "We don't have to take this crap anymore. Come on, let's go beat up some whiteys." My uncle declined, and with a dismissal of his hand, my father bolted down the stairs. I spent the night listening for the front door to open or a floorboard to squeak upon Dad's return. Eventually, he made it home safely. Perhaps you shared with my mother also.